Who wants to log it on?
Go ahead, Terry.
What? I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead and log us on.
Okay, well, somebody already turned on the recording. Okay.
It's on.
Yeah, okay. Today is the May 31st, 2017 conference call for the Courtroom Observers Committee. Welcome all. Don't everybody speak at once.
You're the lead.
They aren't. Do you have any particular topics for tonight, Terry?
No, I don't. Actually, I was going to have somebody call in Lydia. You're probably familiar with her, and there's been a lot of action in New Jersey and the Southern District, and I wanted her to call in and let everybody know what she's doing and what's going on. Unfortunately, she begged off at the last minute, and so she wants to come in on next week about the things that she's found and the research that she's done and the sources that she used for the to discover the research, such as she named a couple of sources for the law library. Oh, Moore's Law. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but she's going to talk about it more next week when she calls in. I talked to Crystal earlier today, and she went to court yesterday, and she's supposed to be calling in today, but I don't want to steal too much of her thunder. But it seems that she went to court yesterday. They called her case first, and they basically rammed it through before she even got into the courtroom. Now, it's my understanding that Crystal is disabled and that she often has trouble getting to the courtroom on time, so that, I guess, was part of the little scheme. But she's going to be calling a little bit later, hopefully, to expand on that. So that's about all I have for you right now. Also, too, there was a fellow who called in on the Monday night call. I talked to him over the weekend. His name escapes me, but I believe he was from Missouri, and he was talking about the Act of 1871, which is very interesting. And that act basically converted the, I guess you'd call it the de jure United States of America to the de facto New United States of America, from changing the word of to for. I think that's what it was. And that started all the controversy about the, corporate banksters, getting control of the United States government. So he said that he was going to be calling in tonight, too, so hopefully he'll have some interesting information for us.
Well, I have to say that that act is not constitutional, and it's not something you really want to get into.
Yeah, yeah, but aren't they are the courts relying on that?
Well, they're relying on a lot of things that are unconstitutional,
right?
Unfortunately, and that's why we're having to fight them to try to take back our courts, because they've been playing in the fiction all this time. But it's even worse now because they're signing on to the UN's World Charter for law, and totally unconstitutional. And so it's not a good idea for us to even really get into the fiction. We need to concentrate on constitutional end of it.
Okay. You know, I don't know that much about it, but it appears to be a weapon that they're using against us, and so if...
Well, it is, and yes, it's something that we need to know, but we need to know that it's not constitutional. We don't want to delve into it and start teaching it and make it sound like it, you know, it's something that we want to do.
Yeah, well, that's what he basically said, is that he didn't want to, he wanted people to understand that this, these things that they rely on are just totally fictions. And I guess the best way to defend yourself is to, you know, understand how they're being used against the people and how to nullify these things that they're using. I mean, all these statutes that they're using, they're all unconstitutional too. But, you know, we need to find out how to defend ourselves against these criminals who are usurping jurisdiction in the Constitution. So I understand what you're saying, and I don't want people to rely on it, but people have to know to defend how to defend themselves against these people who are using it against them.
Well, as far as the courtroom observers, we need to make sure that when we see that happening, that it gets listed on the report that the observers are putting together, and they need to take what they observe in the courtroom and write an affidavit on it and get it into the MLA. And that's how you defend yourself against it. I mean, as far as, you know, it gives us the firepower to fight against it as a whole.
This is Edward Pitty in Duncan, Oklahoma.
Well, I think that's who he's talking about. You know, he's the one that keeps bringing it up. But it was he brought it up on Monday night call, and John explained it pretty well. And so it's not something that is new or needs to really be gotten into heavy. And
okay, that's fine with me.
I'm surprised that he's wanting to call up and talk about it tonight, because it was explained on Monday night. I think that's all it really needed.
Okay.
Ed, do you have a comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, hi, this is Asunu in Missouri. I was just wondering, how do I get the to download the call on Monday? I missed. I've been sick and I couldn't make it.
Just go to the website, and on top of the blue bar on the left-hand side, there's a button for a weekly call. Just click that, and then scan clear down to the bottom of that web page, and all of the recordings for all of the sessions we've done are there. The last one will be at the bottom, and they're all dated. Just pick the one with the right date, click on it, and you can listen to it right there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I hear you. Yeah.
I don't know if any of you have followed the career of John Oliver, British. I guess you'd call him a comedian. He has a half-hour show on HBO every week. And I think it was just last week he picked up on civil forfeiture. And it was hilarious because he had some of the policemen involved in taking assets and stuff. And they were on the stand, and people were asking him questions and stuff. I put a URL for it in the newsletter for this coming week. You might want to click on it and then take a listen. It'll keep you in stitches, and it's true. and it makes things so ridiculous what they're doing to us and getting away with it still. Give it a shot.
This is California Fred. I have a question about the NLA filings. Have the courtroom observers been following the filings with the NLA case? And is there anything to report back on that? I yield.
Terry, got an answer?
I don't believe that any of the courtroom observers, if you're referring to the case we filed in Albany in Northern New York in federal court, there have been no court observers there because we haven't actually gone to court yet. So there would be no affidavits or anything for that, if that was the question.
Shouldn't there have been courtroom observers to witness the filing of it?
There were more than one person went in the day they filed. We have witnesses of that. The fact that it was filed, that we paid the $400 plus the extra 10 or 25, I think it was 410 or 425, and that we did it under duress and so on. And that's all stated, and I believe they have affidavits on all of that. But we haven't actually gone to the court, to a courtroom yet.
It seems to me it would have been 25 people walking in as the grand jury filing it. I mute.
You could, but it wasn't necessary because they actually did file it. It's in the court system. You can look it up. If you go to the documents section on the grand jury, you can get the case number. You can go to PACER, look it up, and find out everything that's been filed on it so far and the responses from the state attorney general and the assistant state attorney general. Over.
Thank you. Now I have homework.
Okay. Good for you.
What happened to Terry?
I'm sorry, I'm having a bite to eat right now, so was there something in particular that
you are the leader of this call.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're the one that's supposed to be leading the call and doing the talking and answering the questions.
Well, people are supposed to be calling in, about their court cases, that type of thing, letting us know.
Is that what you're relying on, is people to call in? Or are you going to teach the people that's here?
Am I going to what?
Teach.
Teach. That's not what I... You know, look, I'm just covering for Laura. There was no discussion...
Well, You're also second leader of the group, and so you should be keeping this committee flowing until Laura gets back.
Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Is anybody on?
Yes.
We hear you, Crystal.
Okay, how are you?
We're doing well.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm not all that well. Because they're still trying to play games, taking everybody's house. And it was funny, I phoned... I found my transcript from 2015. And a friend of mine, we were going over it, and the questions I asked them, I said, am I a public servant of this court? He said, no. I said, is this my grand jury? He said, no. Just said, he's a grand jury. I said, we just committed a treason. So we went on, you know. And then I said, I would like a common law grand jury. And I said, wow, I couldn't believe I asked that. He goes, well, we don't do common law grand juries. We do things different. This is not the federal court. And I guess I replied, well, that's a treason. If I said it's violating my constitutional rights, and I said that's a treason. He goes, what do you think a treason is? It's something foreign? He goes, this is my court, and I run it the way I want to run it. You know?
Well, let me ask you, Crystal, did you write all that down in an affidavit?
Guess what? It's better than that. I got the transcript.
Very good.
So I'm going to make copies and send it to you.
Right.
And I just found out today when I called, because they put my case up, I guess because they knew I would have a difficult time, and I got there like 2 minutes late. They threw the whole case, and they put me in foreclosure. So I'll get that transcript also this week. I did write them back and stated I would like a common law grand jury. I called all of our Congress, Blumenthal and Murphy, and even in New Jersey, I've been telling everybody, just call. Because anybody who goes to foreclosure or whatever, it's like a slave line going through. No, you have nothing to say, and it's all between the judges and the attorneys. And it's so bad with all these attorneys today that I guess they're paying and giving their family their illegal degrees, because you wouldn't believe the nuts that they got as an attorney. And when I went to the court and I was asking questions, they can't even answer the questions. I'm like, are these people really attorneys with degrees? They have no legal background. Another thing, they go into the courts and they don't even have a briefcase, you know? That's all they do. They go up on, I think it was the 6th floor, 7th floor, and they just make the deals and close the cases, and that's it, you know?
They don't expect any resistance.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we definitely, definitely need court observers in all the courts. Because the people I always bring, I said, what do you not notice? I said, this is all between the judges and these attorneys. And unbelievable. I mean, you, it's just like it's their family and friends who are now attorneys. And I'm like, I know. You should see how they come, they dress. They cannot, they're just programmed to read off this sheet, and that's that. You know, there is no attorney that can even debate. Anybody who's taken the National Liberty Alliance, learning our constitutional laws and the civics course, and I've been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And as I said, you know, I don't use the computers and stuff like that. But I said, I do have enough knowledge and common sense. And I said, we all can learn from each other. I said, this is unbelievable. All the people that are taking the National Liberty course and stay on these conference calls, they will be like the junior. They can handle the case themselves.
Well, you've learned the sad truth of what we live under right now. And so the best thing that we can do right now is for you to get us a copy of them transcripts.
I most certainly will. As a matter of fact, well, how can I get it to you? I'm going to mail it to you or back
mail
it to you?
Mail it to the National Liberty Alliance. The address is on the website.
Okay. Yeah, because I got two. And I this was just so unbelievable. I looked at it and go, oh my God, look at this, look at this.
I have a question if you don't mind me asking.
Yes. Go ahead.
My name is Ed from Duncan, Oklahoma. And I joined last year, but I was away for a while, and I'm right back in 100% now, and I'm fully going forward with it. But I have an idea I just thought of in hearing what you're talking about. Would it not be to our advantage, you know, if you know, once we get through some of the process of the civics course and the Constitution and all the other teachings on the website, I think one of the things that we might want to kind of focus on is getting the sheriff on board with us and somehow become their best friend and educate them and have one of their deputies in these courtrooms to kind of hold them accountable. Because I think if a deputy is coming into this courtroom on our side for whatever reason, I think that's going to just the presence of him being there, if we can get him there.
Absolutely. I met this one sheriff yesterday, and I do know of another sheriff. The one I met yesterday, he was all, you know, it seemed like he was right under, he's so happy that he's a sheriff and that he's been there. Because I asked him, I said, well, how long have you been a sheriff? He said, oh, a year, you know. And see, right now, I don't know him personally at all, so I really wouldn't say too much to him, you know. But the one I do know personally, because when I was trying to tell him for the past 2 years, he basically didn't want to hear it, but I spoke to him the other day, and I said, well, I got to get together with you. Matter of fact, I will probably see him tomorrow because we have to go to court to be in support of another person. So we're all going to be there, you know?
Well,
and I will definitely... I'm sorry?
It's their place to be in the courthouse, a deputy anyway. However, sheriffs, for the most part, do not understand what their job is because
exactly
they are not taught what their job is, and so.
Oh no, Muffin! I can't.
It's like they are there to protect the judges. They don't
exactly.
They really don't know that they're there to protect our rights.
Uh huh. Well, in the transcript, I forgot, towards the end of it, I said, is there a sheriff here? He goes, no, there's no sheriff here. We got marshals. And he said, he runs the court the way he runs it. This is not a federal court.
Oh, if that a federal court, then a sheriff wouldn't be there.
Right.
No, but I'm just saying, he says he runs the court. They have their own rules, basically. It's all on the train. You got to read this. I was like...
But that marshal is there to protect your rights, too.
Okay. But I will get that tomorrow. I will make sure we get it over to you.
Crystal, this is Jen. Why don't you send that to me, because I'm afraid John will not catch it when it comes in. It'll end up in the pile on his desk with a lot of other things.
Okay, all right. Okay, Jim.
Let me give you the mailing address here.
Okay, Jim.
It's the Unified Pennsylvania Common Law Grand Jury.
Wait, it's Jan?
Just send it to Unified Pennsylvania.
Hold on 1 second. Oh, God, let's send that right in. Okay, it's
Unified.
UNIFIED. UNIFIED. Unified what? I'm sorry.
Pennsylvania Common Law Grand Jury.
Common. Okay.
Post Office Box 278.
Minute. Post Office Box 278.
In Center Hall, that's C-E-N-T-R-E Hall. That's the old English spelling.
Center, C-E-N-T-E-R-E?
No, C-E-N-T-R-E.
Oh, R-E. Okay.
Right, Hall, H-A-L-L.
C-E-N-T-R-E, okay.
Hall, Pennsylvania. The zip is 16828.
16828.
Right.
About okay.
How many pages is the document?
One is about maybe 8 or 9, and it's a big bold print, so you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's what I'm saying, it's what they're saying in his response back and forth. The other one might be about 3 or 4 pages.
Okay, I'll just scan them and send them to John that way and get on the Skype with him to make sure he gets them.
Yeah, but I think that was so important there. Oh, my God. And the docket number, everything is basically right there.
Good, good.
Okay. Because I called to put the transcript in from yesterday's court that I wasn't there. So as soon as I get that, I'll send you that also.
Okay, good.
And that probably will be like 2 or 3 pages, if that, because I wasn't there. So I have no idea what was said or whatever.
Right.
But I did respond to them, and I asked them for a common law grand jury, and I faxed to them right after. And I said I was in the court, and they didn't, you know. And I heard from the clerk that the case was discharged and they were foreclosing. So then I said, please respond or whatever. So that's that. I did contact the attorney general and I spoke to the assistant. And she goes, well, you better get an attorney because your house is in foreclosure and you no longer own your house. That's all as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
File a writ of error and reduce that judgment and set a new court date. Get a list of everybody that you said there were attorneys there with names. Find out all those cases. Contact those people and have them all file writs of error and expunge that judge.
Wait,
I yield.
File what? What is it called?
A writ of error.
It is called a writ of error. That removes the judge's decision. You have 3 days in which to contact the court and object to anything the judge says. So
okay,
file a writ of error.
Please spell for me. A. Please spell it. R.
W-R-I-T.
They'll help you.
W-R-E. Go ahead.
W-R-I-T.
It's W-R-I-D. Wait a minute. W-R-I-D.
T. E. T as in Thomas.
Oh, P.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. W-R-I-D-E?
No, I-T as in Thomas.
W-R-I-T.
P as in Peter.
T,
okay. As in Tom.
T as in Tom. W R I T.
Yep. Of error.
Of.
E. Error. E R R O R.
Okay. So I'm going to file. Oh, God. I don't have my glasses here. But I want a correct spelling to say the right exact thing when I write it up. So I'm going to file a writ, W-R-I-D-E. No, is that it?
No, W-R-I-T.
Okay, W-R-I-T.
Right.
Of?
Yep.
Era.
Yep.
What does that mean, writ? W-R-I-T.
Written.
Written, you're saying. File written of error.
Nope, you file a writ of error.
Writ.
Just means it's in writing, and it goes to the judge to negate his decision.
And I have to do it within the 3 days. File writ of error. So what do I say in the letters when I'm just, you know? How should I put this together? I Crystal Mac, would like a writ of error in the decision of the case. Does that sound okay? What should I say? Please help me. Because I don't want to sit there and make it too long or whatever the case is. Does anybody got any suggestions?
I would suggest you go to the court officer and get their form.
Do they have a standard form, Robert?
I believe they do.
Okay. That would be the best thing, then. Just fill out their form.
I took and asked, okay, for standard, okay, form. Okay, standard form. To appeal or ask for. Okay, and I'm going to ask for, I, Crystal Mac, would like a, writ of error.
Ask him for the writ of error form.
Okay. All right. Okay. And get it notarized. And I'll make a copy. All righty. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and I will get those other ones out. Because so many people are going through all kinds of, from police officers to teach everybody. And I said, well, look, this is what you need to be doing. You know, because we got to get at least 5 to 10 people in each court case. So. But that's good. Okay, so I will definitely get that done first thing in the morning. And I have to... Should I send it to the attorneys, too? Or just in the courthouse?
Well, the clerk should be able to tell you wherever you get the form from. I don't have any background in that.
Okay. No, but I'm just saying, normally when I put anything in writing, because they just told me it's not mine anymore, so I have to go through those attorneys. And when I asked, and I also asked that judge for his oath and bond. Because I get it when I come in or whatever, you know. He was very vague about that. But they did not want me there. So they had it set up because they're all good buddies, you know. And I said, that's that. All righty. That will be the first thing I'll get a and get out down there and get all this stuff going. And I'll get those papers back, Stokers. I'll get them copies run off, and I will put those in the mail. I'll try to express it to you or whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
Shouldn't take more than a couple, 3 days, regular mail from Connecticut.
That takes about 3 days?
Yeah, 2 to 3.
Okay.
Just regular mail.
Alrighty. I said, that's it there. And what else was I going to say? What else? Oh, they also want to, they put down for my house, and I've had my house over 17 years, which I put all my life savings, everything into it, you know, and which I had property prior to that. But then you're retired, your income and everything else goes down. Another thing, too, is just like when they're talking about the minimum wage. I said I remember when I was in high school and I took political science and economics. And I will never forget one of the classes we had taken, what my history teacher taught us. She goes, what is your age now? Back then it was 74, it was like what? We were at 17, 18 years of age. She goes, the retirement age, I guess at the time, was 55 years of age. She goes, subtract 55 from the age you are now, and that's how many years you should have into a job when you're ready to retire. So it was like 37 years. She goes, every year you work, you add $1, 75 cents to $1, and that's what your minimum wage should be. And that was from 1974 to, what year would it have been? 2010. So 2010, we should have been up to $37 of minimum wage plus another 7 years. 37. So it would be like almost $44 per hour. Cost of living goes up, not down. And it's just like when Ronald Reagan changed that Social Security. When we were working and they took off the Social Security out of the municipality in 77, 78, I'll never forget what my former boss told us. Make sure you get another job. When you retire, you'll have 25% of your salary, because the cost of living is going to keep on going up, and 25% of your, and you'll get your Social Security. So that would always probably be equal to 50% of your salary, you know? So I try to always plan things out right. I was taught by the older and the best of the people, you know? And it's just like sharing the knowledge that nobody ever said, well, wait a minute. How can we go back to, like, what I'm making now, back to 1980? This is 2017, you know? And there was another call I was on. We were in a group one day. And I said, go back and look at your oldest income tax and see what your income was back then to what it is now. It's not even that adding up. You know? It's impossible. It's just like even back in the 70s, you know? And back in 1970, back in the 70s, homes were going for like maybe $25,000, $30,000. In the late 70s, they were going for about maybe $35,000, $40,000-something, $50,000. In 81, 82, they were going about approximately $60,000. Today, they're going for $300,000, $400,000, $1 million. There's no way anybody can survive and pay any utility bills, home, mortgage, or anything under $15 an hour. You know, so it's the education and it's the lying politics and all politics and all the rest of them. And it's a travesty. It's a travesty with an athlete.
Okay. And then you both go, like, okay.
I'm sorry.
Crystal?
Yes.
Back in the 50s, the people getting out of World War II could buy a house for $5,000.
Wow.
Now, I want you to realize something. Back in those days, the money was backed by gold, and they printed a $100 bill, a $50 bill, a $20 bill, and a $500 bill, a $1,000
really?
Bill. and a $10,000 bill and a $100,000 bill. Now they used a $100,000 bill for interbank transfers, but you could, as a private person, have a $10,000 note backed by gold. Today, the highest bill you can get is a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And even there, they're talking about no cash, zero cash. They want everybody to have an ATM card or a credit card.
Right. I never knew that. Wow. That's a good piece of history to know. Hello? Hello?
Yes. Is there anything else that anybody wishes to bring up, or
do we have any indication?
I'd like to apologize for taking us off message. I did not mean to do that. This is California Fred.
Do we have any idea when Laura is coming back? Is she on vacation or some other thing?
I have heard nothing myself.
She'll be back, they said, a month.
Well, yeah,
I guess sometime in June.
More than a month.
Second week of June?
What, a June? 6th of June?
I think it's probably the second week of June.
Second week of June. Okay.
Maybe next week, hopefully. Because she was gone for a month already, close to it.
Right.
When was it? I think the beginning of February? I'm sorry. The beginning of May or the end of April, I think, when she left. So. But we'll get all that stuff going right away.
Well, if there's nothing else, then we can bring this meeting to a close.
Okay. All righty.
I'll turn off the recording.